The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
Well, me, I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby brother. I'm a grown-up man, and I'm Griffin McElroy.
Now, why did you feel the need to specify that you're a grown man?
I just feel like it's sort of my thing this year, and as I step into 2023, stepping into my adult power.
It is interesting. Anytime I post a picture of us when we were younger,
yeah,
people talk about how different I look and how much more mature
isn't
Justin
that,
looks. And people are like,
that?
Griffin didn't even age. And I'm like, guys, he had, look at the bags around his eyes.
Yeah,
look at the deep sadness
hairs.
In there.
The sadness
when we
wasn't
released
there as
the
a
video,
kid, yeah.
When they released the video for Montaigne, the video for
My Life is Better
With You,
yeah.
And we were all in it. I don't read the comments on stuff, but that was somebody else's video. So I
read
the comments because I was curious. And the one that I read that stuck with me really bad is like, they all look so old.
Yeah.
So mean.
I love
it. So mean. It's like, fuck yeah. You look old.
I love
look
it.
Look at me. See a picture of you.
Look at me right now. I don't know how my face has done this. It does look like I've dyed my, like, Van Dyke around my face. But my cheeks are, like, completely gray. And it's
that's
just like,
age.
Yeah, I look
that's
old
age.
As shit. God, I don't know what's happening. Yeah. People are like, he look more and more like your dad. I'm like, yeah, my dad's old. And
my
I come from his loin.
I get old because that's how time works. I love when people use us as a yardstick for how old they must be getting.
Oh,
where they're like, whoa, if the McElroys are this old, I must be old. And it's like, that's a valuable service I can provide to
you're
you, I
welcome.
Suppose.
Guys.
Yeah, BuzzFeed has made a cottage industry of that by showing you what beans from Even Stevens looks like today. hey, let me save you a few hundred clicks.
He
looks like an adult bean.
He looks like adult beans. Grown adult beans with big adult energy.
This weekend, boys, I went and saw The Glass Onion.
Okay.
And
listen, I don't want to talk about that because there's so many spoilers, but it's very good.
Why did you fucking mention it then?
Because if you like the first one, see it. There was 22 minutes of trailers, and within those trailers, boys, there's a trailer for a movie, and it got me pumped. Now, don't look up anything about this movie.
Okay.
Done.
I will tell you.
Tell me.
So, this is a Gerard Butler vehicle.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he is a commercial.
He's in some badass flicks where, like, he has to get out of prison and kill the president.
He punches so many things in movies, even when he's not supposed to.
Right.
And he is a commercial airline pilot. And they're about to take off. And then some police show up. And they're like, hey, we're going to do a prisoner extradition on your airplane, which I didn't know that was a surprise thing that you could drop on somebody. Like, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? I'm not wild about that. And they're like, too bad, Gerard Butler, it's not up to you. And he's like, what's this dude's deal? And he's like, he murdered somebody 15 years ago or whatever. And he's like, ugh, okay. So then they fly through an electrical storm.
Yeah.
And they end up crash landing in scary jungle part of a country. And oh no, like a cartel shows up or whatever and takes all the passengers hostage.
Okay.
And then it's up to Gerard Butler and the escaped convict guy. The two of them have to work together to rescue everybody.
This
and
sounds fucking cool, Trav.
They play by their own rules.
Yeah, of course.
And
they do.
The name of the movie is Plane.
What?
That's great.
That
I like
can't
that.
Be right.
Is yeah.
Plane?
Called I Plane.
Like that. It's like if they made it's that you've described like Die Hard, and then it's like this movie's called Feet.
Yep, this movie's Building.
this one's called Bruce.
I'm I'm so excited about this as a new naming convention, because I think we've had it before. You know, sometimes you're like Gladiator.
I mean, my man, M. Night Shyamalan, I would say crushed the movie titling game with his, I believe his most recent feature film, which was just called Old.
Yeah.
And in this one, and that's, I guess, kind of to tie back into the intro of the podcast. Welcome to M. Night Shyamalan's Old 2. But it's slower this time.
Yeah, it's slow. We age one day for every day.
Yeah. So instead of a child walk on a beach turn to a grandpa, it's like a 22-year-old becomes a 35-year-old over the course of 12 years.
I just remember when I worked at a movie theater, I remember watching people come up, and these people still to this day befuddle me. People who come to the theater and then stand before the posters and pick out which movie they're going to watch at that moment.
Fuck yeah.
And I remember people walking up to the Ewan McGregor film, The Island, and deciding impulsively, knowing nothing about this film, that's what they were in the mood to watch that day.
I like his face.
Oh, yeah.
I like the tropics.
Can you escape? Sounds good. Let's do it. And now I think if we can enter into an age of singular, non-specific nouns, it's just like, what's this movie's whole deal? It's mostly about a plane.
Yeah.
Okay, I like planes. We could say plane, or we could say boat, or elevator. Which one do you want to watch?
Or old, or feet old. Back. Feet, four.
Feet. Oh, feet four?
Feet four, with Justin Long. Gotta get there for feet four.
Long feet.
Long feet.
Justin Long feet.
They thought they could break me. They didn't know I was long feet.
And he ties a bandana around his head. Yeah, sure. It's a short film.
Cool.
I saw Justin Long one time.
Yeah, I did too.
We were at that thing.
We were at that
the Entertainment Weekly thing. And man, I wanted to go say hi to Justin Long so bad.
Yeah.
But my connection to Justin Long is so tenuous. It is like, it's too hot. It's two Hodgmans removed. It's like PC Hodgman. I know current Hodgman, and Hodgman of today knew PC Hodgman. And if you knew that Hodgman, that's Justin Long.
I did text Hodgman in the moment. I texted Hodgman and I said, we're in the same room as Justin Long, and Justin wants to go introduce himself based solely on the fact that they're both named Justin. And he wrote back, he should do it.
You missed a window there,
Juice. Because John Hodgman doesn't give a shit.
No,
man. He doesn't care if I bomb, like, right there. For everybody.
Or for all you know, that's Justin Long's favorite thing in the world is to meet other Justins.
Maybe he's never met another one. He knows about Timberlake. He knows about Bieber, but they're fantastic.
Never met him.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering why I'm not better connected or more successful, I think you have a pretty succinct wrap up in that little anecdote.
I'm just saying, if Travis Barker was at the same place I was.
Oh, would you now, Travis?
No. Maybe Travis Pastrana.
We have no way of knowing which Travis is.
But those are the only three, or the band Travis.
Justin, take us to another segment. I'm happy to.
I was trying to look. We're recording late, so I'm trying to find. Oh, there he is. Thanks, Trav. Thanks for these questions, buddy.
You're welcome.
Travis actually writes all the questions. We haven't gotten an email in our inbox in 2.5 years, probably because we don't mention it anymore.
The hardest part is thinking of different cities and stuff that people can be from.
Yeah, there's only so many cities. And if you use one twice, people are going to be on to the grift.
Can I talk before we ask a question?
I do want to do this.
I do want to do the question.
Yeah, of course.
Can we talk about the elf on the shelf for a second?
Yeah.
Is that like a way of saying like the elephant in the room?
No. Oh. That would be that. TMTMT.
Yeah.
Can I say that we did a FaceTime so our kids could play Pokemon together over the weekend, which was delightful. And Henry had never seen Elf on the Shelf before, and when Charlie showed it to him, she was like, "Yeah, he's pretty creepy." So, like, who's it for, Justin?
Yeah, BB asked me if we could do Elf on the Shelf this year, and I said, no, Elf on the Shelf is just designed to horrify you into being good. And she goes, but Charlie has one. And I was like, well, I can't speak to Justin's mind.
I don't know how it happened. I think Mary got one first, and the kids loved it, so then we got one. And the Elf on the Shelf, if you don't know, the Elf on the Shelf is a toy that you buy, and you put him up on, or him, they got all kinds of different ones, him or her.
Woke culture, kind of am I right?
Okay. So you hide the elf on the shelf, and the elf watches the kids and then reports back to Santa every night.
Yeah, sure.
If the kids touch the elf, this is so important. If the kids touch the elf, it loses its magic.
And dies?
And,
I mean,
it goes from being a magical fairy tale creature that can teleport all over your house and report on you to the government, definitely.
Yeah.
Or a lifeless, a corpse. I mean, it is what it is.
Basically a corpse. Just like in Toy Story, they die all the time. Yeah. Or like humans are around.
Yeah, sure.
Justin, would you say that Elf on the Shelf is the most commercially successful haunted doll on the market today?
Wow, Trav. Good question. That's huge, actually. That's huge for our brand. But it's, and also the other key thing about it is after it reports back to Santa, it returns to a different spot in your house.
Yeah. So, homework.
As a parent, right, or guardian, you now are the one and you have
Or home intruder.
Or home intruder, thank
you.
I
know the kids can't touch this. Let me just zoop.
It's hard enough to keep the whole Santa thing going.
Yeah.
And that's like very ephemeral, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Santa, everybody has a different. This is like concrete evidence, proof of life.
Yeah.
This is magic that's happening every day. And if you forget that, what I'm saying is, I don't know why we had to increase the difficulty of Santa faith.
Yeah.
With this like hard, concrete, like complex mythology. Because if the bottom falls out from the elf,
what's
it's not
next?
A long walk to be like, okay, so the Santa thing,
yeah,
Tooth Fairy, all of that stuff.
Right.
I don't understand why it had to be that way. Yesterday, the elf on the shelf, I had it hanging off a light fixture and then right in front of the kids.
You can't see Justin, but it's so important to note he's hanging by his hands.
He's got Velcro on his hand. I put Velcro on this thing's hand so I can make it do all kinds of wild stuff.
Yeah.
You're complaining for the bit, but you love it, right?
When I remember it, it's good. When I don't remember, when it's 5:30 in the morning and I sit up, I'm like, fuck! Then it's bad.
You just throw them in the washing machine.
Today I jammed him behind the air fryer. It took the kids 15 minutes.
Awesome.
But yesterday, this doll fucking falls right in front of the kids onto the ground. So now I'm looking at it like, well, fuck me. And they're like, you can't touch it. Like, I know I can't touch it. And then the cat instantly is like, hell yeah, I've been wanting to fuck you up for years.
Yeah.
This is my day.
This is Judgment Day, bud. It's coming.
The cat's like about to pounce. And I'm like, I think I start looking for rubber gloves because I feel like I could maybe sell that.
Yeah.
But then Charlie's like, get the tongs. Like, okay, tongs. That's even better. So I get tongs and I pick up this.
like a bird that has been dragged into the house.
Yep.
I pick up the elf and I put it face down on a serving tray up on top of the fridge. And it's just lie there like, we'll let her rest there. It's fine. I'm sure she'll get her magic back. I'm sure the tongs were okay. Last night, as I mentioned, we forgot to move the elf because it was very out of sight, out of mind. It was lying on top of a serving tray. And Sydney's like, text me while I'm just out of the shower. She's like, quick, I've got Charlie distracted. You've got to move the elf. I'm like, okay, okay, so I run, and then I had this really brief moment where I was like, I don't know what we're teaching our kids with the elf, but this could be a teachable moment that gets me having to do the elf forever. So it's basically just like, that's a tough break, kids, but that's what life is like sometimes, right? Like, that's like that sometimes.
So what did you do?
He air fried it.
I stuffed it behind the air fryer. It behind the air fryer. Didn't use the tongs, using my bare hands.
Well, you broke the magic.
Could you not have sold, like, the elf spirit is still in there, but if we scale the thing out, she had like an 8-story fall yesterday.
Yeah.
Onto her.
She has a long road to recovery ahead of her.
She's going
to
be laid up on the fridge for a while, which honestly, kids, is a bad behavior pass for you for as long as they are convalescing.
You can do whatever you want, and Clarice can't report. Well, there's an animated series that's absolute horseshit. It's like a 22-minute movie of garbage.
Yeah.
And this one kid's like, I don't believe in this idiot. He knocks it off a shelf. And they do even increase the mythology to now where he has to be flown by other elves back to the North Pole and get bed rest.
To get resuscitated?
Back. Wow.
It's so heinous.
Anyway. We got that dog. Because I think some family member sent us the dog. Elf on a Shelf has a dog, too. And it's a St. Bernard with a little keg around its neck. But the keg contains Christmas cheer.
Sure.
and it on Christmas Eve, a beam of light shoots out of the dog's keg that has a heart on it, and that goes to the North Pole to make like Christmas happen. Christmas would die. Christmas would fade from the earth if we stopped believing in it. Which is cool, because then on Christmas Eve, my son stays up to watch his stuffed animal dog that comes with the book, and it's like, a beam hasn't come out yet. I'm pretty worried that Christmas is not going to come this year. And it's like, man, what's the game? Unless you have some sort of beam fight laser technology that you can put inside of your dog dolls, maybe don't build that into the mythos.
Dad tried to introduce.
Think about how much Hanukkah could get to shine that year.
Oh, that's true.
If Christmas didn't come, Hanukkah would be in your house. It could finally get center stage.
Dad tried to introduce Elf on a Shelf into our home by getting my kids each one Bingles themed.
And oh, we got one of the holy shit, we got one of these too.
Yeah, we got it too.
And all I can think is like, it's already a complicated enough mythos without introducing and also they love football.
They love one team. They have a preference.
Mine, the one that Dad sent us, ended up being the Elf on the Shelf in aisle 5 of Goodwill. Because that's where he went. Because no thank you, Dad. I don't want to have to explain that. Nope. No thank you.
I'm just saying I really pray that there is no magic in the dolls, because I never remove them from what must now be their coffins.
Except for me, if the doll is alive, I've done the most kick-ass job ever hiding it from my child. He'll never see it.
That's some other family's problem. Okay.
No.
We're not going to do
that. They can touch him all he wants. I stuck a note on him that says, this is my cross to bear. You touch this guy, go nuts, I said.
I just discovered a large spider web in my hotel room. It's too high to reach it by jumping, and also I don't like killing spiders. Would it be crossing some social boundary to ask the front desk to send someone to kill it for me? I'm staying here for a whole month, and I think it's moving closer. Help, brothers. Big bad bug in Blythe.
Listen.
I don't know how spiders run in Blythe.
Yeah, they do. They make a fun sound like that. You shouldn't kill spiders is what I'm supposed to say.
Whoa.
But they can be poisonous and very, very scary. And we are so much bigger than they are. If it seems like if you would goosh it, that stuff would come out. That's my usual boundary for, okay, you are big enough to deserve some sort of primal dignity. And I will usher you outside in a solo cup. But if they don't goosh out when they explode, is that even really alive? Does it have feelings?
Griffin, I've both seen and read Charlotte's Web. They've got feelings.
But Charlotte is big enough. Charlotte's big enough that if you squished her, stuff would come out.
So that's true. That's
a living creature right there, and we have to respect that.
Look, can I ask you guys a judgment call?
Yeah.
Which of these you think is more acceptable? Calling the front desk and asking them to send someone up, or going down to the front desk and saying, like, hey, there's a spider in my room, if someone could go take care of that.
Neither one of those is great. I think the best case scenario, and the one that sort of gets you off scot-free, is you call the front desk and say, hello, it's me again. I've called about a lot of bugs today, but
this one's
a doozer. I have a spider in my room. And that is scary to me. What happens next? I'm your customer.
You tell me.
I'm scared of the spider in my room.
Yes.
Whatever happens, maybe you do something about it, maybe you don't. But I'm an active Yelp
user. I'm over here on Yelp.
I am
ready to.
Always ready to burn your shit down.
I think it can't be the sole focus of the call. Like, if you said, like, oh, could I get an extra pillow and a couple of towels? And while they're in here, there's a big scary spider in my room, just if they have time. If they have time, they give it.
Just get it on a magazine and chuck it in the hallway. I don't kill spiders. I'm not gonna kill a spider.
No, any one of them could create Spider-Man, and I don't want to take that away from the world.
May I? You don't kill spiders. It's bad luck. I don't extend this courtesy to all living things, obviously. If I see a stink bug in my house, which I do every year— for a couple months.
The same one?
No. Oh, no, it's certainly not, because I'll smush those dead.
That makes the stink come out, Justin.
I love the stink. That means one less stink bug. I hate these guys, okay?
Wait, hold on. That doesn't... the worst thing about the stink bug is the stink they make. You make the stink come out, and you're like, ah, now it can't stink.
I'm with Justin on this one. The worst part of the stink bug is their presence.
Yeah, it's the being a bug in the house. Now, normally I'll try to chuck them outside because the kids don't like it, but if I see one of the kids around, they're big, tough guardians, I will send them to hell. I won't do that for a spider. It's part of the fun of spiders.
Yeah.
You got to get it on a napkin or a paper towel or something and got to get it outside.
Before it gets on your hand.
If this helps you, there's 5 or 6 other spiders in your room.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Not just one.
If this makes you feel any better, and probably shouldn't, there are probably 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 12 spiders in your room.
For sure.
That's just the life that you live. The spider you can see, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Good. I got tabs on that one. Don't worry about that spider. He's out there. He's like, is this okay?
Yeah.
I'm here. I know you can see me. This is fine, right?
That's polite.
The other spiders, they're nasty dogs.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. They're underneath your bed. They're everywhere. But the spider you can't see, you don't need to kill him. He's going about his business. He's fine. And
providing a service as well. Yeah. I don't like them. Famously, I do not care for spiders. Yeah. However, we need them. They're good.
Yeah.
They're good spiders.
They kill the genie mosquitoes.
So just move rooms. That's the spider's room. You walked in, somebody was already in that room, and it's a spider. You're in the wrong room.
Yeah, it's a spider. The spider has dominion. I wouldn't call somebody because they might not handle it ethically.
Yeah.
They would probably kill the spider. They're probably not gonna go through the work of scooping up the spider and then walking it to the elevator.
No.
That will
they won't apologize to the spider and say, I know you were here first. I'm sorry about this.
The best you can hope for is that they have one of those old timey mail chutes.
Yeah.
Have an incredible adventure, Jason Schwartzman voiced spider. Have a wonderful adventure.
Oh, he would do so good. Whoa.
Looks like I've got mail. And then Dunstan just picks him up and fucking eats him.
And then the baby's day out eats
Dunstan. What a perfect film. What an amazing
and
what
so
amazing
culturally
idea.
Relevant.
It's not, but it's like, what if a monkey got loose in a hotel mailroom? Like, yeah.
Writes itself, baby.
Sure. Yeah.
And also Jason Alexander's there and he's befuddled.
He could not be more confused. Hey, can we go to the wizard?
Yeah, I'd love that.
I wish we would.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. This was sent in by Siobhan. Thank you, Siobhan. It is written by a bunch of authors, it seems like. Wow, this one only has a 39% out of 100% of goodness. So this may not be some of the wizard's best work. 38 co-authors, few too many cooks in the kitchen on how to trash talk on Xbox Live. I suppose this would work for PlayStation Live, Nintendo Live.
No, Sony cronies respond to things differently.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
They're built different.
Yeah, built different.
Yeah. They probably don't call themselves Sony cronies when they talk about how cool they are. Oh, okay. You've taken that.
They prefer Sony bronies.
Yeah. Well, it depends on if we're into the Friendship is Magic universe or not.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to flay the flesh off our bones. Being good at a game is a sure way to own mad noobs.
Yep.
But if you didn't do so good, or you just like to argue, then trash talking can make the match funnier.
Well,
step zero, keep your grades up. If your grades go too bad, your parents will cancel your Xbox Live account, and then you can kiss Master Chief on his helmet mouth goodbye. He's never coming back. Justin, did you put glasses on? I was looking at another window in Chrome, and then when I looked back, you had glasses on.
Oh, I think I've always been there.
I think I've always had glasses. No, these are my blue blockers. I'm starting to feel a little bit of eye strain set in. I'm old.
I'm starting to feel a little bit of like co-opting the glasses.
Yeah, man.
And the beer brand. You know that for a while I was the glasses one and Travis was the beards one and you were the nothing. You had nothing on your face.
You were the nothing. You consumed all of Neverending Story.
But now you have both of them. So now it's glasses, beards guy, glasses, beards guy, glasses, not scruff.
Maybe the bad guy is you for not
having a beard? Okay. Well, it looks weird and bad when I do it. So I guess I didn't get those genes. But anyway, just something to think about. Step one, be brave. Who cares that you came in last place? Yeah, trash talking after owning everyone in the room gives you a clear advantage, but so what? Brag about your kill-death ratio or point out someone for camping the whole time. Cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Good work, you
no
fucking
one's ever
scrubs.
Said kill-death ratio, and it's not, you're not allowed
yeah,
to
you're not
that.
Allowed to spell the whole thing out. Nice work capturing the flag, you fucking idiots. Yeah, you died 100 times. You lost 15 points. Like, yeah, I know. But you died a couple times too, idiot.
In the history of video games, the best trash talking comes from a place of whining, right? Well, of like, yeah. Well, my controller's glitched. You were using the turbo button. Yeah. I said no odd job. That yeah. kind of thing.
My parents were yelling like so loud. So yeah, loud. Yeah. I couldn't hear the sound of the gun going bang, bang, bang.
The Ratatouille that was piloting me wasn't very good at this match.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
I think this article also submits in that most good online trash talking comes from a place of real courage. Be brave. Who cares? Yeah. Don't be too loud. Just because you want to tell someone how much they suck doesn't mean you have to hog the sound waves. That's a really
what?
Powerful term for people
is this
in our profession.
Alien did this? Who wrote this?
There's only so many sound waves that the human ear can detect at any time. That's the secret of like music mixing, mastering, production, all that
stuff.
Don't
use too much.
So you don't want to use too many of them just by being like, you died twice, and then making that long, sustained sort of signal.
You ever wonder
noise.
Why we stopped at 8-track? That's
yeah.
it.
That's all the tracks we got. I would go one step further and say, if you really want to fuck with someone, trash talk in ASMR. I think that would really fuck.
That's good.
Hey, I just want to let you know that you're kind of a fucking noob. And I'm just going to squat on your face and squat and squat and squat and squat.
And I fucked your dad. And this
Griffin,
is.
I don't think he's ever watched an ASMR video. He thinks it's Jimmy Stewart insulting.
Oh, well.
I fucked your dad.
I'm going to cut your hair on this side. That's the worst.
Master Chief is my best friend.
That was among the worst Jimmy Stewart impressions that have been done. Don't hog the sound waves. Let other people make their lame comeback so you can spike it at them, showing your true ownage. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Point out someone. If someone sat around and camped the whole time, say something. Most likely other people are going to back you up if they were really doing something wrong. So this is an interesting form of trash talk.
Trying to like, hey, I know you're tempted to trash talk me, but let's talk about Dylan.
Yeah. And you're a scrub and an idiot, and I fucked your dad, but I'm going to take a sort of moral position here.
Mom?
and say that Charther was kicking it behind this bush this whole time.
He stayed in one place for like big portions of the game. It's captured the flag. Yeah, but he was, I don't know what you mean. Well, he was just in the zones. He had to capture the zones and then defend the zones. Yeah, but he wasn't like running around like I was. You died 700 times.
So do it for the laughs.
You could invent other jobs that you were doing while they were doing the fighting. Because the military is not just the shooting people.
That's interesting.
I mean? You could be like, I had KP. I had to peel potatoes. I couldn't help you today.
My KP ratio is off the charts.
If the commercials for Army and Navy and Marines recruitment have taught me anything, the jobs in military are shooting ones, drones ones.
Yeah.
Which they make seem like flying like a cool hobby plane, which I appreciate. And then the other one is you can build bridges because they need bridges for industry and for us to get those cool big drones up somewhere to a takeoff pad.
I think there's also a job where like four people look at a radar and then point at a bigger radar.
That's us. Don't get confused.
Look, it's up there now. I moved it up to the big screen. Pretty cool,
Where's our dot finder? Right here, sir. This is us, right
That's
here.
That's us. I'm going to put a little arrow there so we don't forget.
Okay. Blow up every other dot. Oh, no. Do it for the laughs. As much as you want to dominate someone, make it funny because everyone likes that one hilarious kid in the lobby. That's true. Everyone really likes when a bunch of ones are fighting for that incredible honor is the best part. Because then it's like I'm on Last Comic Standing.
Yep.
Every day, every time I play COD and Halo with my best friends. Don't be obnoxious.
Sorry?
Don't be agnostic.
Don't be agnostic.
Don't be agnostic. Christ is going to get you there, or he won't.
But he won't.
Don't fall in the middle. Make a fucking choice. You got to decide. If you're alone.
If there's one thing game lobbies love, it's strong religious beliefs. One way or the other.
One way or the other. Either God's going to help you get the battle royale and take the crown in this big Fortnite match, or we're all alone and it's you. And it all comes down to you. And one of those two extremes is the way you gotta go. Avoid being obnoxious. Don't whine and be annoying, because chances are you're the one that's gonna get dominated. This article's all over the fucking place, man.
This is what happens when you have like 28 different authors. There's one author is like, be obnoxious. It's like, all right, now don't listen
to what
he said. Don't
actually listen to that one. Make friends. You don't have to friend request them, but making some lobby friends is always good, especially if a lobby fight breaks out. You want them to have your back. Lobby fight! Oh, shit. What? Why is your collarbone broken? Yeah, man. You know how it is. Lobby fight.
Lobby fight.
Not friends on there. I don't friend people. It's serendipity. I let them go. I say, thanks for the teamwork. Send them back into the breeze. If our paths cross again, it was meant to be.
What about, hey, guys, what about instead of trash talk, we focus on some treasure talk and just say, like, hey,
that's good.
Everybody did really good this match, and I appreciated it. Really,
I've never gotten a compliment while playing an online video game. That would be huge for me.
Yes, I have also experienced that, Justin, as well.
Nice. Nice kill, J-Man. You want to hear the most I've only been affected by trash talk once in my entire illustrious gaming career.
Yeah.
I was playing Gears of War online, and in Gears of War, this is gross.
This is yucky stuff, guys.
That iteration of it, you had to stomp on the enemy's head to finish the fight. They'd be downed, but then it's like in Fortnite, you know, somebody gets down like this, except you run over to him and have to smash their head. But whoever smashes the head gets credit for the kill. So this guy next to me, he shoots someone really dead, but he doesn't run over as fast as I do because I was close to the body. So I squish his head. And this guy says to me, in the most like disappointed parent voice possible, you have to get your own kills, man.
Oh no. Devastating.
And man, I did feel like trash. That was some good trash talk.
Yeah.
I remember it 10 years later.
Yeah, man.
I felt like trash.
Wow.
It was.
Did you turn the Xbox off immediately? I don't think I could have hung in the rest of the match.
I don't think I kept playing. Like, I was like, so I think I probably shut it off. But like, I remember that. That's trash talk. I mean, that's like,
yeah,
that works on it. That's deep. That's going deep for trash talk that I will still recount 10 years later.
No, when it's appropriate. If no one is talking when you enter a lobby, it's probably not a good idea to trash talk. Okay, it's my experience.
Someone's got
to
start it.
Yeah, be careful what you say. There are people who report trash talkers if you use overly swear-filled language. So trash talk all you want, just lay off the F-bombs.
Yeah, use really archaic.
I don't think that's accurate.
I don't think they're policing that. I don't.
I do not believe that fucking Master Chief is like listening in like, he said fuck once, that one is okay. It's PG-13 rules.
That's PG-13 rules. They can show a boob.
Be funny. You don't have to trash on other people.
Didn't they already say be funny?
In most cases, you will find that the subject matter is far away from video games. In general, just don't talk about racist or controversial subjects unless you are in that sort of company.
Wow. Hey, WikiHow.
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 Holy shit, guys.
Read the room for bigotry and then dive right
in. Listen, man, if everyone's being racist,
if everyone's having a racist old time,
you don't want to stand out as the not racist in the room.
Holy shit.
WikiHow.
They will single you out for your unwillingness to
participate. Do you think
in the bigotry
that this article or this subsection of the article will still be active by the next time we record? Or will one of the 38 original authors be like, I do not want my username on this one? Boop.
Oh, boy.
Boop. One Q&A, why is my friend acting like she does not want to be my friend anymore? That is not germane to the subject. What you did certainly had nothing to do with this article. You fucked up IRL.
Yep.
These are clinically proven ways to just have a funny time on a Xbox Live platform.
And what's wrong with that?
A lot.
Hey, do you have an exciting idea for a website, an idea that you want to share with your brothers, but then they make you wait on that idea until after the break, and you're so excited to share it, and then they're like, well, we got to go make money first, so you have to wait. Well, you don't have.
I'd love to hear your idea, because I did promise that I'd listen to it, but can I take just one more second just to tell you about Squarespace first? Completely unrelated note, Squarespace is a website creation tool that and it's so much more than that, but really you can use Squarespace and all their incredible resources to make a website even if you don't know anything about making a website.
Yep.
And you know, like Travis, for example, he's got this great idea he's going to share with us soon.
Not my idea so much as it's just like a reinvigoration of our brand,
and
maybe.
We'll get there.
But you know, it's not going to take long to make this website, Travis, so you don't even need to worry about it, because they've got all these incredible templates that are created by the best designers in the biz. You pull these in.
They got Jerry Website?
They got Jerry Website, the man
this
for him.
This dude definitely knows how to cyber.
Yeah. And you can sell products. You can sell products with the Squarespace website. They've got blogging tools. You can share your photos, videos, recommendations. Like, it is a very powerful tool. I've used it to make websites. And now you can, too, even if you, like me, haven't edited since the WYSIWYG days.
Wait, can I use it to share my Grinch fan art?
Is that your website idea?
It actually says, I'm looking at the Squarespace terms of conditions, and it says here that that's forbidden, only from Travis.
But it's only implied erotica.
Yeah, no, they said they hate it. They said they hate it in the terms of condition.
They want explicit?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that to my hero, the Grinch.
Check out squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Sometimes we cross the finish line of an advertisement and one of us is just sort of dragging the like sort of hole riddled sack of the ad copy behind us.
Yeah.
As it sort of just tumbles out the back.
Well, it's just like, imagine if you were watching like a relay race. And between like racer 3 and 4, instead of a baton, they just handed him a dildo. And then they were like, oh, okay. they just had to carry that across the finish line. Like, this is what they gave me, man. I don't know.
The grocery bags are torn, and I'm just picking cans of peas up from the parking lot.
Yeah. And Justin's like, don't worry, guys. I got it. And me and Travis are just leg wrestling in the grass.
You probably already have a favorite animal. Maybe it's a powerful apex predator like the tiger or a cute and cuddly panda. And those are great, but have you considered something a little more unconventional?
Could I perhaps interest you in the Greenland shark, which can live for nearly 400 years? Or maybe the jewel wasp, who performs brain surgery on cockroaches to control their minds?
On Just the Zoo of Us, we review animals by giving them ratings out of 10 in the categories of effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics. Listen with friends and family of all ages to find your new favorite animal with Just the Zoo of Us on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
Hello, I'm a stuffy dowager countess.
Travis?
I'm judging everybody's manners.
Oh, no.
Schmanners isn't judgy. It's about teaching you to be your best self and be a little more confident when you enter social situations that you don't understand, and maybe also teach you a little bit about history you didn't know or give you interesting things to talk about at parties.
Yeah, like the secret life of Emily Post.
Or like why wristwatches are the way that they are.
We can talk about table manners from the Victorian era.
Sure, or what it's like to attend a Regency ball.
Yeah.
You can find all that and more if you listen to Schmanners on Maximum Fun or wherever your podcasts come from, I guess.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Now, Travis, I believe that before we were so rudely interrupted by this capitalist hellscape in which we are imprisoned, that you were about to play along at home.
I was about to play along at home, but what I've done, and I worked really hard on that. I took some time away from my family during the holiday season.
Have you polished up this bit? I love a lot of your bits, I can admit now, because of lots of therapy.
Thank you.
But this one, I still don't know if it's there yet.
I
think what's so energizing about this show
two sets
is that we're
of
able
questions.
To workshop things as we do them.
I have two sets of questions.
Okay.
One set of questions is about Disneyland or Disney theme parks.
Right.
Okay. One set of questions is about Pokemon.
Okay. We've done. Griffin, I think we've done this exactly.
Yes, I know, but this time I've carefully balanced it. I've gone through. I focus tested these.
Okay.
To make sure they were balanced, Griffin, I'll be asking you the Disney questions. Justin, and I will be asking you the Pokemon questions.
We should call this the Chuckle Lab.
Okay, you ready?
When Travis has a bit, we'll call it the Chuckle Lab, and it's the experiment, and we're all in it. You're in it if you're listening.
We're all in it.
We're all scientists.
Griffin, in 2006, Disney regained the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit by trading NBC what?
The one of the Huey, Dewey, Louie duck nephews.
No, I'm sorry.
It used to be Huey, Dewey, and Greg.
Yeah, got rid of him. Checked him out because he didn't rhyme. It was the services of sports commentator Al Michaels.
Okay, that's wild. That's really cool that they were able to do that.
Yes.
Who is that good for? Whose ego does that boost? I have to know. Because, like, on the one hand, it seems like, wow, that's to trade a whole IP just for this one guy. But then from Al Michaels' perspective, it's like, I'm who?
I'm equal to what now? Apparently, Bob Iger.
I'm moving my beautiful family. I'm moving my beautiful wife and three children to Santa Clara, California, across the country, so you could have Oswald the Lucky Rabbit and put him in Epic Mickey?
Apparently, the dude from ESPN, when they wanted Al Michaels, called and it was like, hey, it's me from ABC. We would like Al Michaels, his contract's going. And Bob Iger was like, cool, you got it, but we want Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And the dude from ESPN was like, who is that? And Bob Iger said, time for you to do some research.
Awesome.
They probably could have just done it, and no one would have been like, hey, do we own that?
Justin, in the original Pokemon game, the three starters to choose from were Charmander, Bulbasaur, and what squirting turtle?
Fuck off, Travis.
Squirtle.
Okay, that's one for Justin.
That's dog shit. Nice.
Okay, Griffin, Disney parks have been home to a lot of famous rides. These rides include Space Mountain, Haunted Mansion, and a swashbuckling dark ride. What was the name of the miniature railroad in Walt Disney's backyard?
The Zephyr.
No, I'm sorry. It was Carolwood Pacific Railroad.
He had a miniature railroad in his backyard. Okay. You think we're going to be able to ride the train at Disney World again soon? It feels like it's coming up. They finished the tunnel through Tron.
Justin, in the animated series, Pokemon trainer Ash Ketchum was accompanied by his buddy Pikachu. What was Pikachu's catchphrase on the show?
Pika-pee?
We'll accept that. It was Pikachu, but we'll take it.
Yeah. I think that this sucks. I think it sucks for a lot of reasons.
Griffin, arguably the most creative Disney Imagineer, visionary Tony Baxter, was born on what day?
Christmas.
No, I'm sorry. Easter. He was February 1st, 1947. He had a hand in the creation of Star Tours, Big Thunder Mountain.
Really, Griffin?
The Journey into Imagination, and many others, including what would have been a Jules Verne-themed land called Discovery Land or Discovery Bay.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Justin, great. Name a Pokemon.
God.
You can do this.
Mr. Mime?
We'll accept that. Yes, Mr. Mime. That's 3-for-3. Justin, you kicked Griffin's ass.
Woo!
You don't have any more for me? Because I feel like now I'm
Justin, you sure know a lot about Pokemon.
I feel like I'm kind of a renaissance dude. Yeah. Like I know Pokemon and Disney. You know what I mean?
Griffin, you don't know shit.
It's like...
What? That's like unnecessarily cruel.
Though. Well, I was trying to trash talk.
Here's the thing what sucks.
Uh-huh.
That Justin's questions were a lot easier than mine.
No, I worked very carefully to balance them out.
They were objectively much easier. And last time we did it, I feel like my questions were easier and Justin's was harder. And I'm wondering if maybe we need a fourth party who can step in and do a little game balance before the next time we do the segment.
Well, we don't have a fourth brother, so I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. No, but Dad just text us literally this exact moment. Does anybody want to learn euchre?
I already fucking know euchre.
We all already know euchre, but regardless, I think Dad's our fourth brother. just from the text messages.
Sometimes we get texts from Dan, and it feels like we haven't spoken to him in 6 years.
Now, okay, he is referencing the fact that we were chatting about Marvel Snap. It was a good goof.
Oh, okay, yeah, that is
a great
goof.
About Marvel Snap in that chat. That's okay.
I'm actually quite good at Ugra already. Yeah.
Dad plays a lot of Marvel Snap, y'all. Travis plays a lot. Dad plays a lot. I play just a regular amount.
And I the normal amount. And I go on car dates with the babes.
Whoa, that's a big thing to admit. You're philandering and like you're cheating on your wife.
Noted, oh, babe, I'm, wife babe, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. No, not me. Hey, wait, they're going to find out about my babe-based car dates.
Griffin, turn off your camera.
Okay.
And be quiet. Hey, guys, it's Justin and Travis from the McRoy Brothers. God, I never thought we'd have to do this one.
It's so hard. It's
As you know, noted wife guy Griffin McRoy and our former brother has been, Trav, how would you say it? I mean,
revealed, has been unmasked.
God,
as a real piece of shit.
He's been going on car dates with babes.
With babes. Multiple babes. Multiple car dates. Probably vroom, multiple cars. Vroom. He's on one right now.
Come hey, back, guys. Baby. Hold on, guys. I just drove my car into my third story window and parked it. Were you talking something about me? I'm just doing normal shit. Grocery store shit.
Griffin. You still have a whole car date with babe vibe around you.
I'm not on a car date with six babes right now. Stop it.
Wait, it's multiple babes at the same time, Griffin?
Oh, Griffin, that's not even fair to the babes.
Do they know about each other?
Even this bit feels bad. Hugely, deeply uncomfortable. Hugely.
Take the glasses off.
Yeah, you did a costume change for this bit.
He did a costume change.
I mean, it's a great, don't get me wrong, man. I don't regret the bit because it's
Blue Beetle from DC Comics.
I think it's pretty funny. I thought it was a pretty funny bit. It made me feel deeply uncomfortable while
You're
doing it.
You're still wearing the sunglasses.
They're prescription, so they're fine.
It's fine.
Hey!
I want a munch
squad.
I want to munch
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profile and latest greatest brand eating. I got two scoops of news for you today. One is KFC is giving the gift of $5 famous bowls and limited edition holiday buckets.
Yummy.
Sorry, Starbucks, but the Colonel has his own thing.
It's chicken.
Just in time for the holiday season, KFC is debuting? I always get confused about debuting?
Debuting.
Debuting. New bargains and buckets to make it easier to enjoy all of your celebrations. Whether you're looking to sneak away for a quick bite to fuel your holiday shopping.
Hell yeah.
Sneak away from your family? Is that what you
mean? Sneak away?
They say sneak away from your family.
For a bucket of chicken.
To eat a bucket of chicken by yourself in private.
Yeah.
Silent nodding to the other patrons like, yeah, me too, buddy.
I think that there was another box of decorations in the garage and I missed it. I got to go look. What are you talking about? It's December 22nd. I'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Hey, when I drove the kids to school this morning, it smelled like, there was a big empty bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Did you maybe eat a whole one of those while sitting idling in the car in the Target parking lot yesterday?
Raccoon must have gotten in the car
Raccoons,
again.
Raccoons, damn, they bring chicken into cars and eat it and leave it.
Three-time Grammy-nominated rap superstar Jack Harlow teams up with acclaimed comedian and entrepreneur Drewski to promote the $5 deal.
Okay.
Based on a childhood memory of being in his dad's truck and picking up a KFC in the drive-thru, the press release says picking up a KFC in the drive-thru. So he's got some serious towing capacity. It's got to be a Ram 1500 or
maybe it's got a Hemi 25. For sure.
It's got a Hemi. This one's got a Hemi. Picking up KFC in the drive-thru, Harlow's nostalgia for the famous bowl transports him to an animated world of memories of enjoying the iconic bowl.
Wait, how old is Jack Harlow?
This kind of threw me, right? Because has the famous bowl been a goof for long enough that it went around?
Okay, Jack Harlow is only 24 years old. So I can believe that he has nostalgia. But how do you have nostalgia for a thing that still exists? I'm confused about
and
that.
And is gross.
Also that.
Bigger question.
I just want to point out, Young Gravy is older than Jack Harlow. So a little bit of mislabeling, more like Old Gravy.
My favorite part of the famous bowl is the thick and gelatinous layer of Young Gravy that they sprinkle atop it.
Let's see if there's anything. They have a new sharing is caring themed holiday bucket. Here's the quote. The holidays and KFC go hand in hand. There's no better way to satisfy a craving for comfort and connection than by sharing a bucket of KFC with family and friends. There's no better way.
That's it. Pinnacle.
Our holiday bucket with free cookies and $5 famous bowls are two gifts that are sure to feed the joyful moments that surrounds this season. The other thing I wanted to mention to you guys, as long as I have you here, if I could borrow a moment, one more moment of your time, is Panera Bakery shakes. And I'm going to hold off on showing you the picture of these because the picture is really important here, and maybe we'll upload it somewhere, certainly, or
we won't.
They could see a national rollout in 2023, and the chain began to test them in Texas. Panera is leveraging core bakery items and transforming its existing offerings to capture younger audiences, drive visitation, and strengthen attachment across day parts.
Yeah, for sure.
Says the robot currently running Panera Bread.
Day parts?
On November 16th, Panera launched a test in its Texas market of its first bakery shakes. And then it says in parenthetical, think frozen blended shakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like a shake?
Like would a shakery shake? Be a better
Panera
name?
Panera may roll out this beverage shakes. Item nationwide during the warmer months of 2023. This new frozen blended beverage platform is the latest example of Panera expanding into new menu offerings after launching grain bowls in 2019 and flatbread pizzas in 2020. And then I guess taking 3 years off to pat themselves on the back for how good things are going at Panera. Now, this is the actual reason I wanted to draw your attention here. And let me see if I can. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to zoom this in a little bit so you have a better view. So look at this for a second, guys.
Oh, it's a bit.
What you see, no, it's not a.
Well, but I mean, it's a bit. Like when you go, like, you remember that time we went to Junior's Cheesecake Place in New York and it was like, this is a New York style, like, milkshake. And it had, much like the one on the right there, a whole hunk of cheesecake on top.
So if you're not looking at these right now, it's a chocolate milkshake, like a blended cookie milkshake, a strawberry milkshake. Then stacked on top of the chocolate one is two brownies mm-hmm. with whipped cream. And then there's another one that's two cookies with pretzels and on top in between them with whipped cream. And then there's a third one that's strawberry. But these are created.
Strawberry and cheesecake.
Strawberry cheesecake. These are entirely created in Photoshop. Look at the strawberry one.
Yeah.
There is a strawberry balancing on top of another strawberry.
Yeah.
They've never done this.
They've never constructed
They've
one
never
of these
They've never done
ever.
This.
Now, Justin.
They have not made these.
Never.
This is a joke. They have not made them.
Is it clear in the press release whether or not the drinks actually come balanced with these things on top? Or is this just a representation?
This is what's so confusing to me, Trav. If it's a representation, then this art is like hugely misleading. I mean, the yes. art is not meant to say like it's like this. It's meant to say this will come on top of it.
Yeah.
For sure.
But it is also so clumsy and precarious
yes.
that this can't be it.
Also photoshopped on here.
The all
Panera
the labels?
Bread labels
yeah,
I was on the cup.
About to
you
point
guys
that
didn't
out.
Have those?
Yeah.
Andy?
I am scared to think of what any of these would look like in what is going to slide across the counter to me when I order one of these for me and each of my children is
so you
I,
want me to mush the cookies right in there?
I know. Careful. Here's your drinks. Oh, all six cookies fell down. Like, yeah, man, for sure.
Sometimes when we mush them in there, the drink tends to slurp right onto the counter. The whole drink slurps out. It's just messy cookies. And then I got fired.
It's easier this way. Take the milkshake in this hand and hold out the other hand. I'm just going to put the whole sliced cheesecake right in there, pal. Have fun. Squish them together at the table like you're making a guacamole.
It'll be $13. Thank you.
This is good, though. Thanks, Panera. You're always keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Ads. We got time for another question, or what's up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. My friend just became a high school theater teacher, and we just went to the play she directed with her students. It was good, and I told her I liked it, but I feel like she was looking for more feedback. But I still don't really know what the director does, even after she's explained it multiple times. I know some of it is managing the kids, so the best compliment I could come up with was, it seems like everyone was doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Great.
Yeah.
What does a high school play director do, and how do I compliment them?
Okay, so hearing
you're it. Can I say, as somebody who has directed multiple plays with kids in it, you're not entirely wrong.
Yeah.
Very close, actually.
Have we all directed plays with children in them?
No. Why would I ever?
Right. I forgot Griffin hates the theater. I would say that there's an equal chance that they want a compliment, sure, but also a chance to complain about the entire process with another adult.
They want a chance to justify the failings and blame them on the children.
I think you would actually be better served if you could pick out who was the real stinker up there and just be like, but can we talk about Newsy number 3 or whatever? Because that kid was fucking phoning it
Guaranteed.
In.
They'd be like, thank you.
Yes, thank
the
you.
Worst. Yeah. The worst kid. A bad adult, even. I will go that far. They will be a bad adult when they get older. They're the worst.
Ugh. That, I think, is like, hey, it seems like everyone was doing what they're supposed to be doing. Kids were having fun up there. The story made sense. That's a triumph when you have children delivering lines. All good. But a chance to be like, did you see her pirouette in the second act? That was the best I could get out of her. I know. Like,
well, why would a director be in charge of that?
Because it's a high school production, Griffin, and not fucking Broadway.
You don't think they have a choreographer?
Well, it might end up being like our high school productions where there was like 5 different adults all claiming to be equal parts in charge.
Yeah.
Which made for some real solid continuity to
Hell
the entire show.
Man, every children's theater show we ever did felt pretty strict in terms of you can't just make shit up and change the play whatever you want. But all the high school shows we did were like, have fucking fun, man. I was just thinking about the other day, our high school put on a production of Great Expectations, and the director, who I will not name, the director of the show thought it would be a badass idea if the main character of Great Expectations, after the show ends, and I think there's like a fire, and maybe the old lady dies, Ms. Havisham, I don't know, but thought it'd be badass if before the main character walked off the stage, before curtains drew, it looked at the audience and went, Great Expectations. Just like toss that shit right there on the end. In that way, Great Expectations. Just like they do it in the book, though. Have you read the book?
Well, because at first, the expectations, they're great.
Yeah.
And your expectations, they go down.
Realize in the middle of saying the title of the play that you are now sad because of the events that unfolded. That's a kick-ass note. Thanks, director.
And that's double cool because that director had that idea.
Yeah.
And then stuck to it.
Yeah.
And it's like they heard the kid say it that way and went, yes, well, Control-S, save.
To his credit, that the guy who was playing that role did deliver the line more in a mumbly way, and every night got the same note of like, hey, you're doing great, and it's a heavy load that you carry up there. But do remember at the end, that line is supposed to be delivered great. Expectations.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, My Brother, Me. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. Trav, what's all the stuff we got to tell people? Because I know.
Oh, thank you so much for asking, Justin. Well, first and foremost, we've got our Candle Nights live show. It's virtual once more this year. So you're going to want to get tickets for that. What are you waiting for? It's December 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Tickets go on sale. They're on sale now. bit.ly/CandleNights2022, CandleNights2022. We got a lot of great guests, and all proceeds from that show go to benefit Harmony House, a shelter in our hometown of Huntington, West Virginia, helping people experiencing homelessness. We've got our shrimp angel ornament, our Bureau of Balance metal ornaments, and the Candle Knights with a K ornament designed by Brie Paulson. Proceeds from that ornament also go to Harmony House. And 10% of all merch proceeds from December go to Harmony House. So make sure you check all that out at macroymerch.com.
We also have some tour dates coming up in April for the shows we had to reschedule in San Jose and Denver. April 27th, we're going to be in San Jose doing Taz with Abria Iyengar. The day after, we're going to stay in San Jose and do Mabim Bam. And then April 29th, we're going to be in Denver doing Mabim Bam. All existing tickets will be honored for the new dates. But you can still go get tickets at bit.ly/McElroy Tours.
Correct.
That felt good. It felt right. Mask and proof of full vaccination or negative COVID test within 72 hours of event start will be required. Did I already say that? I don't remember, but but now I've done and said it twice, if so. Thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a jammer and a slammer, and you should get the album Making It, because it's one of my favorites of the whole dang year. And also, the Adventure Zone graphic novel, 11th Hour, comes out February 21st, 2023. Go to theadventurezonecomic.com to pre-order. Listen.
Yeah.
That was a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of stuff.
I think, who is it going to be this time?
We got to come up with something.
Yeah, I think Justin, it feels like Justin has something important to say to the audience.
That was mine.
We got to come up with something.
What, like, is that a sort of general?
Yeah.
Everyone?
Just everybody, we got to come up with something.
So just like a general blue sky opportunity for humanity to come up
with
something.
Yeah. What does that mean to you? That's the power of it, right? It can mean anything.
No, it means probably one of two things. I don't think there's that many interpretations of what you just said.
Yeah, okay, agree to disagree. My name is Justin McElroy.
My name is Travis McElroy.
My name is Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, me, and we gotta come up with something. Hey, kiss your dad's card lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.